Hey guys, on this episode of EdTech, we're going to be talking with James King and the AV group that he created on Slack for higher ed tech folks. All this and more on EdTech.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is EdTech, episode 88, AV Slack Group.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Crestron.
This is EdTech, the Higher Ed Tech Monthly Podcast. I'm your host, Bill O'Donnell, and this month I am joined by Mr. Ernie Bailey. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. We also have James King from Stockton University. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good to hear you. Also, we've got Mr. Scott Tyner. How are you, sir?
Hey, Bill. Nice to be back. I'm doing well.
Good. And as always, Mr. Rob Raspberry. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Always great to be with you guys. Oh.
All right. So first off, we actually brought James on as he runs a AV group on Slack, and it's mostly for, you know, higher ed professionals such as ourselves and everything. I can always, you know, wax on about these things, but James, you know, if you want to explain to folks what the group is for and, you know, how this helps out with the fine folks in higher ed.
Sure. Thank you, Bill, for allowing to talk about the Slack group. So basically, I created the group from following people on Twitter, and I was like, you know, there's a lot of smart, educated higher ed people in AV, and get everyone together and be able to discuss equipment and setups without the fear of being a sale pitch. I was saying, oh, don't buy that equipment, buy this equipment, and be more of helping each other. Mm-hmm. So that's what this group started out to be, and it's the way we're keeping it. It's really geared just for people in higher ed, AV, IT. We got about 58 members right now on there. And, it kind of really blew up since COVID because we're all sitting there going, how are you doing this? How are you doing that? So it's really, I feel the exchange of knowledge is really well done there.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think a lot of folks, you know, we all look at it and it's not, you know, with the exception of some of the stuff that Ernie deals with and everything, everyone's out to just go and say, how do I make this easier? How do I make this better? You know, I tried doing this worked. I tried doing that doesn't work. My all-time favorite is still to this day that I knew an associate of mine who had to deal with a tech call, and that was someone decided to hook up the Crestron system to the DMX theater lighting system. Yeah, yeah. That's one of those ones where, like, I heard that and I'm going, okay, why the two of those are mixing? But, you know, once again, that's one of those just, you know, hey, that's cool. I have no idea what the application is. But anyway, but, you know, it's not to say, like, you know, oh, AMX could do this better. Oh, Crestron could do that better. It's, no, like, what actually works for you? Because there have been times where I've found a product just talking with folks and, or, you know, there was a unique application. In fact, my all-time favorite memory is Ernie Bailey, who was teaching me about a couple of things, and one of them was, Ernie, we were on the Infocom show floor, and there were two products you ended up telling me about. One was the Williams Sound or Williams AV stuff, yeah. In which they were moving over into doing audio over IP, so instead of, you know, us having to constantly have, like, the hearing reinforcement equipment and everything, you can just turn it into your smartphone. And then the other one was, Ernie, help me out for a second. It was a microphone manufacturer.
It
wasn't Clock Audio.
No, Earthworks.
Yeah. They had some of the most unique mic applications, and I just kind of went, wow. But, you know,
the
no sales.
Shoe.
Yes.
The
it was for the rock mic. Head. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, granted, I don't think our music department or our theater department's going to go for it, but still, it was just one of those, like, you know, you take it from friends, and that's how you go with that.
We didn't put in the OR either, so.
Yeah. But like I said, James, so so far, what's been some of the, like, the, now, do you have, like, subgroups within it, or do you have, like specified channels, or is it just everyone's, like, you know, like, ye olden bulletin board system?
So as Scott mentioned last month, which again, Scott, thanks for bringing it up. It is broken up into sections. So we have a AVIP section channel. We have a coding. Right now, one of the big ones is the COVID-19. It's, so that one's really taken off of how people are handling things. Another one that's taken off is equipment discussion. So someone be like, oh, I'm using a Shure microphone, and this is what we're doing. What do you guys think about it? Type deal. Another one, we have events. So anytime there's events going out, we post in there so people know what kind of events are going on. We of course have the general. We have a networking one. Then of course the one I got from another group I had is called Oh Shiny. It's basically showing off what you did. Training. And then unified communication. Those are right now the channels I have. But as I told the group, is you come up with one, I'll create it. It's not really me saying this is how the group is run. It's more of here's it is. Let's run it as a group.
Now I'm actually kind of curious. But at least when you say unified communications, I mean, you know, granted that's a wide range and everything. Yeah. But I've got a sneaking suspicion there are definitely still some folks who are going and saying, okay, I have Zoom, and then I have some folks who have WebEx. How do I marry the two together? Or I'm sure there's at least some discussion of things like that in there.
Yeah, that one hasn't taken off as much. Actually, I've been posting more in there is because I have I've been running into a problem with a Logitech system that I actually think I worked out. And actually, one of the members on there, Donovan, he's been very helpful with me on this. Basically I was having the Logitech group system and the camera kept locking up and even after updating firmwares and stuff, we would lock up in a position. So we worked out all that details, but that was kind of how I created that channel. So it really hasn't taken off yet saying, oh, we're trying to do this or that. But maybe it will once we get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think it's, you know, right now we're in the tail end of, well, depending on where you are, you know, if you're in California, not so much. If you're in Florida, definitely no. But at least here in New Jersey, we're my school has already submitted a reopening package and everything, or at least, you know, folks for us to get back into classrooms and everything. I have a feeling it'll probably pick up only because, you know as well as I do, there are going to be some folks who you're going to have faculty members who are like, oh, I didn't get an exception. I have to actually teach on class or on campus. Can I do this from my office or can I do this? And there, once again, it's going to be, okay, how do we go and marry up a system either in Zoom and with a classroom that doesn't have a PC and, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, you end up, as I say, that side of things ends up growing only because we're going to be putting, I have a feeling we're going to start putting UC into more spaces that were more, as I could put it, non-traditional spaces.
I kind of agree with you there. I see that happening a lot more.
Yeah. You know, like in our case, our CIO went full in on WebEx and our faculty went and said, we want Zoom. And they went straight to the president. And the president said, okay, get an enterprise license for Zoom. Thanks. And we're like, but we have WebEx. He's like, yeah, go and get Zoom. So on the back end, and Rob's already smiling, just laughing because it's like, it's a branding thing. There are good and bad points to all of them. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's been talked on this podcast a couple of times, and that there are things that certain manufacturers do that's absolutely bulletproof, and there's some other stuff where you're like, yeah, that needs to go back in the oven. So, yeah, as I say, if anything, I'm just looking at it of, okay, I'm just waiting for Logitech to kind of come up with their own touch panel, basically, for, you know, I'm sure they're already working on things. I mean, like Polycom already has gotten it to where their software, it's not homogenous, androgynous. There we go. So, anyways.
I thought you were going to say agnostic, but, you know.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. So, you know what? Listen, I'm in my office right now. There's no AC. I'm just going to blame it on that, okay? Like, my office is just slowly turning into a convection oven considering the hot air coming out of here. Yeah, that's right. I jumped on the grenade. There you go. So, anyways, so if anything, James, where can folks find the group at and everything? Do they like email you? Do they just like put it out on? Do they just start pinging you on Twitter? I mean, you know, what are they gonna do?
Yeah, either you can email me at james.king@stockton.edu, or you can DM me on Twitter, or I'm also on LinkedIn as well. So those two platforms you can send me a message on there. My Twitter handle is @AV_JamesKing, and pretty simple. And,
okay.
Yep. I'm looking for right now, or the group is looking for, is a EDU address. So we verify that you're in higher education, and we'll add you in.
Okay. So, all right. Moving on to, as I say, so once again, thank you, James. Moving on, we're going to be looking at an article from AV Network. Specifically, it was written by a good friend of mine, Margot Diwali, and it's covers on the topic of AV from anywhere. Which, you know, once again, if you've been dealing with COVID for the past couple of months, as we all are, you know, obviously a bunch of us have been learning how to do work from home. Or working remotely, or if you're like Rob or Ernie, you're going, what work from home? You know, for them, it's just like, yeah, no, it's been nonstop. But in any event, it talks about how folks have kind of adapted with doing more remote work and doing more remote access. I can talk from my own personal experience in that when I was doing stuff for pharmaceutical companies and everything, we never had a programmer on site. He simply just had, network access and a VPN. And, anytime we had to do an update to the room or anything, I would just start hitting him up on either Twitter or, you know, I would DM him and everything. And he would just go and upload the programming and everything. But I was still the monkey that had to be, you know, on site and testing everything out and saying, you know, hey, you know, like, hey, Damon, the clock's not working. Oh, okay. And all he did was he just deleted the clock on the touch panel file. So, way to go fixing. Yeah, I know. Scott's just leaving me like, yeah.
What clock?
Yeah, what clock? Yeah, it's what? Nothing's broken. What are you talking about?
There was never a clock there. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The worst part is that's happened more times than I want to admit to. Yeah. Hey, the date's wrong. Oh, I'll just take it out. That's a way to fix it. But anyway, like I said, it covers about things just kind of like it is a push of everything's going over the network, which does bring us to, you know, a lot of us have been doing the work from home and everything. And as things come back on, back on campus, back online and everything else, a number of us are hoping, hey, maybe, you know, we'll be able to do stuff remotely from time to time. Now, I know from my own dealings with my own boss and the president of our university, they're going, uh-huh, yeah, no, you guys are on campus. You have to put out fires. But I know for some of us, it's actually been a benefit, and some cases it's even been a boon. Before the show, Ernie, we were talking about this a little bit. You guys have actually found a way to, you know, making working from home actually save money, right?
That's right. We moved some groups home and then determined that they can do their job just fine there. And they moved other people into the office space they had been using that had previously been in lease space across town. Brought them back onto campus and stopped paying the lease, you know?
Yeah. Now on the reverse side, though, they did make use of your classroom space for other things right now.
Yes, they've also We've been using our classroom space that weren't being used for classroom for call centers and for contact tracing. Most people know we do have a hospital associated with our campus, or we have a campus associated with our hospital, I think is really how it is nowadays. we've utilized it. Now we're in the process of trying to get these spaces back into classroom use. We've got most of them back. I think
have
two
any
more weeks in the big room.
Okay. Now the other question I have for you is, have they decided to then co-opt the conference rooms, or are those normally tend to be like departmental spaces and things of that nature?
Well, we have some departmental ones, and we have some that are shared that my department manages. Mm-hmm. They have gone through. We've had our infectious disease team control come through. You know, we have one of those here, and they determine the social spacing, the distances for all the seats and how many rooms each room will seat. And they've pulled chairs out. They just pile the chairs up in the hallways and they end up back in the rooms. So we've determined that it's not our responsibility to make sure there's the right number of chairs in the room. So we let other people know the chairs are moving, and you can either have classrooms designed and maintained AV system wise, or we can move furniture, but we can't do both.
Yeah, that's for us. They've been either removing the chairs, or the other alternative thing that they've been doing. And I know our adjuncts are going to be less than pleased about this. Is shifting a number of classes to twilight hours and everything, which it's not ideal, but at the same time they're still trying to make sure that the students have all the access they have. The other end of it is we're doing this pilot program called HyFlex, and it basically keeps the classroom capacity, or the student body count in the room, to 50% or less. So yeah. We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
We're doing some of that as well, and I'm meeting with one of our colleges tomorrow to determine exactly how we're going to make all this work, because they plan on like a third of the students come on Wednesday or on Monday, a third on Wednesday, a third on Friday to the lectures, and the other two-thirds stay at home and participate via Zoom or Blackboard Collaborate or whatever tool, and we're going to discuss the tools, and I'm trying to get them to narrow down to a tool.
That's the flip end of that, and I'm going to ask you this, Ernie, and I know some folks are going to cringe when I say this and everything. It's not a smart board, but I'm waiting for when at least our faculty are going to ask for touch interface monitors, because so far the provost and a couple other folks have said, well, if you want to do that, you can just use the digital whiteboard instead of the whiteboard directly behind you. And as well as I, writing something out via your hand versus writing something out via a mouse, it's two very different animals and everything.
I guess, fortunately, we had that conversation 3 years ago. So most of my rooms have them.
Well, surprised, folks. As you can tell by that statement alone, my school is going to be doing catch up.
Well, that's the one time I'm surprised we're actually ahead. And it turned out we pay $10 a piece more for the displays for the monitors.
Are they ViewSonics?
They're all Dell. Huh? And we have a Dell truck come from Texas to our campus at least once a day. Okay. We've got 10,000 faculty and staff on campus, and our another part of our IT group actually charges a tax if you buy something besides a Dell for your office computer. You pay the IT department, because we know we're going to have to maintain it, and all of our people are Dell certified. So if you want an HP, or if you want a MacBook, fine, you can have it. It costs you whatever the university pays plus $350, something like that, to have it. So
James, you were about to say something.
Yeah, we're a Dell interface as well. We were for a long time. We use Hitachi SAR boards, and then we moved to smart boards, and the pens kept breaking and are going missing. And then we found these Dell touchscreens, and they're cheap and they work well. So we just hook them up, and we do have faculty who annotate on them.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've I always laugh because our college of ed folks are very much like, oh, we need to have smart boards. And I look at the guys and I go, listen, even smart's getting out of the at times is getting out of that business. So like, how about this? I'll get you an Aquos board and we'll call it even. And they're like, oh, but I'm like, guys, watch. And I can literally take like all 10 fingers and I go, listen, you can have 10 points of contact on here. I'm like, now if you have 10 people trying to write on the screen all at the same time, I'm like, there's bigger issues. Yeah. Just, if 10 people are trying to do that, I'm like, yeah, good luck. It's in the same category as how I always laugh how Mersive says, oh, you can have, up to 256 people connected at the same time and this and that. And I'm like, if you're trying to show more than four pieces of content on a collaborative session at the same time, I'm like, what are you actually trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
It's in that Jeff Goldblum of, oh, no one ever said we couldn't. It's, whether we shouldn't. But anyway. Yeah. So once again, I've been abusing the time here and everything. So Scott or Rob, I would love to hear what you guys, as we're getting closer to, folks on campus and everything. I know Rob's just like, Bill, I've never left this room. what you don't realize, folks, is in the corner, Rob actually just has feet. Yeah, he actually has a cot. You just don't see it.
That's right.
Or a sleeping
bag. That's right. Have to use the sink as the shower. It's horrible. So basically, as far as what we're doing here at Drexel, it's sort of a mix of stuff. So when we went completely online, everyone but me went remote and have worked from home almost exclusively. And it's worked very well with Zoom. Any of the online stuff, it's been fantastic. So coming back to the high flex mode and preparing for that, it's interesting because there's two groups. My collaboration group has been working excellent from home, and my we call them instructional media services group. They've been chomping at the bit to get back in because it's much more hands-on. So we have integrators that have come in and taken a look at some of the classrooms. So some of my guys have started to come in. And there is an understanding that, on that side of it, they're going to have to be, hands-on. But even then, we're trying to get the global viewer enterprise, vetted here so we can do some remote monitoring of classrooms and devices and things like that. And so also what's been happening is what we're doing is we're creating a few what we call pilot classrooms that have different technology in it. We're going to try the Sony Edge Analytics. We're going to try, the Poly X50, Studio X50 in some smaller spaces. And we're going to give faculty, a chance to come in, take a look, and see what might work best for them. And also, we just saw the D10 Me, which is like a small Android, sort of a Zoom integrated device that looks somewhat interesting. So we may look at that. If faculty decide, listen, I can't be in the classroom, I'm going to teach from home. And if they're allowed to, we have to look for some options for home setups for those people. But, working remotely as far as online tech support, in some cases on the collaboration side, my groups actually work better. It's quite interesting. But we are preparing to get, and the other interesting part of this is now we're talking about social distancing. So in our office, we have 5 and 6 people. Now, the question is, you don't have cubicles that go, from ceiling to floor, so they're not really offices. So the question is how do you mitigate that, with people with certain distancing? So it may come down to I have to have a couple people in the office a couple days a week. The other couple days a week, a couple people are in. I don't know if we're going to be able to be fully staffed unless we get other space for, my team to work separately. So it brings up a lot of interesting questions.
Yeah, that's the thing. Our with us, we actually developed because our school colors are white, black, and orange. they literally said, "Here, you guys are gonna go team black or team orange," and we are on campus for 3 days, off for 2 days. Then you know, flip and reverse that. The idea is that we'll be at less than 50% capacity, and that's staffing. That's just you know across the board. I know from my own experience, there will probably be times where it'll be, yeah, Bill, listen, we know you're off today, but, could you Figo and yeah, James is already nodding his head. It's like, yeah, there's only so many, folks that are going to be able to juggle chainsaws. So far though, luckily for us, I think the only major issue we've had with folks, and Rob, you'll laugh at me about this, has been teaching our faculty how to use the breakout rooms and then bring folks back from the breakout rooms.
Yeah.
It looks like you've dealt with that before.
Yeah, you know, breakout rooms are sort of, you know, as amazing as they are not intuitive and terribly user-friendly. So the tech-savvy people, they get it. Mm-hmm. And they understand what they have to do, but then there's another ones that are just like, what in the world? But I mean, overall, the breakout rooms are great. Just getting in and out can be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. It's, as I say, and that's the other thing too. Like, I laugh because some folks are like, oh, well, WebEx can do that. I'm like, nah, I'm not. Long story short, folks, I have more faith in Zoom only because literally the guy who founded Zoom used to be the lead developer over at WebEx. And, you know, he brought up some stuff to Cisco. And I went, yeah, no, we're good as it is. And then he went and founded Zoom. And so, ta-da.
Yeah, he tried to start basically what is Zoom as show and share at Cisco. Or was it with Tanberg at the time or Cisco?
Yeah.
It's kind of at the changeover time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and they built it, sold it, and abandoned it. I know we lost a big chunk of money.
We bought into it
and ended up, they demoed a beta version, not telling it was beta. We bought the beta and it never made it into production.
Oh dear. All right. So Mr. Tyner, what have you, what's on the horizon for you and your fine folks? Or for you, We're already in remote mode.
No, I mean, part of my staff's working remote. My AV techs are on campus. They've been on campus for 6 weeks. I'm on campus 2 or 3 days a week. One thing's fortunate about being in Maine, I guess, is that we're in a fairly good place with COVID at the moment. And we have full plans at this point to fully open and have all our students come back and not be doing remote. Unless a student chooses to. If a student chooses to, they can do remote. But we are planning to do a full opening.
Like I said, it's an interesting mixed bag with everything.
When is your opening, Scott?
Yeah.
I think it's similar to what you were saying earlier. We're going to bring students back that last week of August, and we're bringing them back a third. We're testing them as soon as they get here. 2 days later, we're bringing back another third. 2 days later, we're bringing back another third, and we're testing them all as they come along, and then we're doing testing. I think every student will get tested twice a week throughout the entire semester.
If you're going to be on campus here, you're going to be tested that day.
Yeah.
Not tested, but you're going to be screened. You have your temperature taken, and you answer a bunch of questions.
The day they arrive.
Changes color every day.
It's the first thing that they do when they arrive is that they're going to go get tested. And then it's tough. I was talking to my wife because we dropped our daughter off at college last year. And parents aren't going to be welcome in the dorms. It'll be literally, unfortunately, say bye to little Johnny on the sidewalk.
But it's understandable. Johnny will be good with that.
You know, it's interesting. We did surveys, and I think everybody would be the same way. And I think it's interesting what people think and what students want. Students want to go back, and I think our results were over 90% of our students wanted to come back. Really, I think even something like of that 90%, only 10% said with conditions, and the rest were like, no, we're going back. You unlock those doors, and we're walking in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling with everyone being in kind of quarantine for the past couple of months, we've all kind of, you know, gone a bit stir crazy about things. And it's like, oh, yes, some sort of, so, like me, literally, like I didn't have to be on work at, on campus today, but I threw myself out here for a multitude of reasons, mostly in the fact that just, you know, some sense of normalcy. But yeah. In any event, all right, guys, that's about all the time we have on the show and everything for this month. Ernie, where can the fine folks find you at?
You can usually find me on LinkedIn.
Oh, there you go. James, where can the fine folks, just as a reminder for everyone, where can the folks find you for the Slack group as well as finding yourself?
Again, they can find me on Twitter or LinkedIn. My Twitter is @AV_James King. And then LinkedIn is just James King.
Mr. Tyner, folks can find you at Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter @STyner, or you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
All right. And Mr. Raspberry?
Yep. Find me on LinkedIn.
Oh, there you go. I'm Bill O'Donnell. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. You can also find all these fine podcasts on avnation.tv. Once again, this is EdTech, part of the AV Nation, part of family of podcasts. As always, this is EdTech.